Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And as always, we invite you to come to our Zoom service, which is right after this. If you're wondering how to get into the Zoom service, you can check your e-newsletter or your weekly update for the link. And we look forward to seeing you there. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, September the 26th. The key word is, or key words, is let go, let God. And the affirmation is, divine love, wisdom, and understanding express through me. If I feel unsure of the next step in any situation, I let go and let God. I don't walk away from difficulty or try to force resolutions. Instead, I release my tight mental grip on problems and open myself to solutions. I let go of my ego's desire for control and my need to bring about specific solutions and remedies beyond what my mind can conceive. I yield to possibility. I trust the indwelling divine presence, just as I would trust a mentor. Letting go and letting God means creating space for the dynamic, creative energy of spirit to inspire and surprise me. Divine love, wisdom, and understanding fuel my thoughts, express through my words, and guide me in all ways. And the scripture reading is taken from Psalm 86:11, and it reads, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. Amen. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are going to do a very interesting look at this whole idea of believe in God. You know, we're always told believe in God and everything will be all right. So the name of the title of this talk is Belief in God, Is That Enough? Right? And again, that's what we're always told. Believe in God and everything will be okay. And this is a statement that we as Christians hear and say a lot to each other. And, you know, not just Christians, but many different faiths have a similar statement to help each other through tough times. So the question we're exploring in this lesson is believing in God enough, especially during these very challenging times? And as you know, are we actually comforted by the statement, believe in God and everything will be okay? You know, because we'll say that to each other. Or do we need more? Do we need more? That's really the question. And this reminds me of a story I know I told in church when we were, you know, in regular church pre-pandemic many times, but it took place many, many years ago, in which a friend of mine called up and told me about a dilemma that he had gotten himself into that was going to lead to him being in jail, right? So we talked a while, and I shared some spiritual, you know, words of wisdom with him. He's a truth student as well, and, you know, shared some words of wisdom about this idea of, you know, turn to spirit and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he thanked me, and then we hung up. Less than 5 minutes later, he called back and said, is there anything else you could tell me? Right? Meaning the spiritual words of comfort that we each talked about were just not enough. Okay? And also recently in a minister's meeting that we have every Thursday, there was a discussion about whether or not unity truth principles were enough to get folks through the many, many challenges that, you know, we are all the world and everybody's going through at this time. So this is what we want to look at in this lesson. What more do we need to know and understand to be able to live our lives from our true self, our Christ self and have it be more than enough. Okay. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about this, the concept of mind hacking. I don't know how many of you remember that lesson. The idea being, how do we crack the code of the ego that keeps us in emotional ambiguity? You know, the ego always has us fluctuating between what we call, you know, from Course in Miracles, that you're either in a state of love or a state of fear, each being a category for a lot of different things that can happen in either one of those. And, you know, it's like the ego sort of keeps us in that emotional ambiguity. We're not sure, you know, one moment things are good and it's great. Another moment, you know, things are not so great. So cracking the code of the ego is the purpose of the study and practice of spiritual principles. Now, one of our challenges could be that so much of what we study just ends up being intellectual fodder. That's an April word, right? Fodder for thought. Meaning thoughts and ideas for us to mentally chew on while not really doing anything from a practical perspective to implement these ideas in our lives, okay? And it could be because we consciously or unconsciously have not allowed these ideas to crack the code of our ego and change us to the core of our being, okay? Because the ego keeps us in a certain state of consciousness, a certain state of mentality. And to get out of that, to really be able to implement and live from truth, we've got to be able to crack that code that, you know, the ego uses to keep us where we are. So many of us know a lot about living the spiritual life, but if you've been studying a long time, you know a lot about it. But the question to ponder is, even though we may know a lot, have we changed a lot? Okay? Have we allowed these spiritual ideas to enter into and deeply affect the nature of our consciousness? And this is just a question to get us thinking about how effective we are at implementing these spiritual principles in our lives. Okay? So as we talk about these ideas, I want you to begin to think about how much am I implementing these spiritual principles I know in my life? And we should also assess the possibility that we may be changed significantly, but possibly without realizing it. Okay? Because if you've been studying truth for a very long time, even though you might still find yourself getting wrapped up in the dynamics of your emotions, you may have changed and be handling things differently, but maybe just don't realize it. Okay? So the test of change being to consciously observe ourselves in the midst of our emotional fluctuation between love and fear to determine which we have a greater tendency to turn to. Okay, so when stuff happens, do you have a greater tendency to turn towards love, which, you know, includes faith and understanding and courage and all those other things, or do you have a tendency to turn towards fear, which is fear and, you know, fear and worry? Okay, so we want to try to figure out, just by observing ourselves, which do we have a tendency to turn to? And again, remember, this is the practice of self-observation without condemnation. Our goal is to become consciously aware of our emotional tendency. And the practice of self-observation leads to authentic power. So by consciously observing yourself and how you're responding without condemning yourself, that process of observing and making an understanding where you are compared to where you want to be begins to lead towards authentic power. Now, for example, the practice of compassion leads to authentic power. The practice of patience, caring, gratitude, appreciation, contentment, and awe of the universe leads to authentic power. Okay? Now, in Gary Zukav's newest book, Universal Human, Creating Authentic Power and the New Consciousness, that we looked at a few weeks ago, he explains that creating authentic power changes more than you. Okay? It changes every collective in which you participate, from the smallest to the largest. Every collective, meaning family, work, you know, people you meet on the street, and anybody that you end up being in, in communion with, or, you know, that you are in community with, that it affects all of that. So when you're developing authentic power, it develops everything in your life, from the smallest to the largest, from the individual to the group to the community to your society and far beyond that, he says. Okay, now this is also what he says, and these slides I know have a lot of information on them, But I do this so that if you want to go back and look at them, it's easier to do than trying to listen and transcribe. So this is what he says. He says, there are different experiences in the process of creating authentic power. But creating authentic power is not linear. For example, it is possible for you to be angry or in the midst of resentment or jealousy and suddenly see through the eyes of love. And that begins with recognizing where you are versus where you would like to be, and then practicing what you know spiritually to get yourself there. Okay? So Harvey explains further that when you're frightened, you know, frightened parts of our personality have a tendency to take comfort in what they in step-by-step instructions. Okay? First I have to do this, then I have to do that. Then I have to do this third thing, and then I have to do this fourth thing, and I have to do them in this order, and then finally, at last, you know, you feel you've reached your destination. He said there's no need to impose this structure or imagine rigor upon yourself or others, because this idea, this idea of change we're looking to evolve to our a greater spiritual awareness is an ongoing process that is not necessarily sequential. Okay, so yes, there can be things that we do. Especially if you're a person that likes to do things in order, it's not saying you don't have, you know, don't do that. It's saying you don't have to do that because it just may. It's not necessarily a sequential process. Okay, Jerry Morgan, U.S. Senator of Kansas, said, "Perfection has to do with the end, but excellence has to do with the process." Okay, and this process could be thoughts of the. Practice of affirmative prayer, meditation, you know, those things we use to kind of bring our mind into alignment with God mind. But this still elicits the question, how long will this take? You know, even if as I'm doing all these things, how long is this process going to take? Well, as Chris Wilcock, former professional basketball player, expresses, he says, it's going to take as long as it takes. Okay. Again, because it's an ongoing process. And as we were, if we were in open discussion right now, though, somebody would probably challenge the word process, because the definition of that word still implies that there is an end or a goal that we're striving to reach, okay? So maybe a better way of expressing the spiritual path is that it is an endless journey, okay? As one American author says, life is an endless journey you travel just to behold the endless beauty. Let me say that again. Life is an endless journey you travel just to behold the endless beauty. Okay. But again, as we listen to beautiful quotes like this one, we may be inspired for a while, but not comforted in the long run. You know, even if you like that quote, you say, oh, that's a wonderful quote. And so it inspires you for the moment, but does it comfort you for the long run? Okay, so it may come down to truly understanding what is your intention on your spiritual journey. Let me ask that again. Asking yourself, what is my intention by being on this spiritual journey? What do you want or expect to achieve in the process of being on this journey? That you have to get clear about and have an understand what your intention is for being on this journey. Now, as Gary Zukav explains again, he says, multi-sensory humans, these are humans who operate outside of the five senses, okay? So multi-sensory humans see an intention as a quality of consciousness. They see that the consciousness behind an action or word, not the action or word, creates consequences, okay? So let me say it again. They see that the consciousness behind an action or word, not the action or word itself, all right, creates consequences. So whatever the nature of your consciousness is what's going to create the consequences. For example, five sensory humans think the golden rule is about actions. Do to your neighbor what you want your neighbor to do to you. But multi-sensory humans see the golden rule is about consciousness. Intend for your neighbor what you want your neighbor to intend for you, okay? Because that intention comes from consciousness, right? So think about that for a while. You know, what it comes down to is this: what is the intention in your consciousness when dealing with others or the circumstances in your life? Is it to intend love or to intend fear? Because it is our intention that shapes the nature of our consciousness. And once the nature of our consciousness is shaped, that will be the way that we interact with what's going on in our lives. So a love consciousness is what we want. But with all, again, that's happening in the world and in our lives, a fear consciousness is often what we choose, and often unconsciously. Okay? I don't know if you ever caught yourself in a situation where somebody says, "What are you thinking about?" And you didn't realize that what you were thinking about was based on fear. Okay? So this is more about that idea of how do I remain consciousness, you know, pray and watch. So again, the question is, belief in God, is that enough? And from Gary Zukav's explanation, it may be enough for a multi-sensory being who knows that there is more than meets the eye. But the question is belief in God enough? It could be harder for a five-sensory being who is limited by what can be detected by the five senses. Now, listen to this. This is a very long explanation by Gary Zukav. But again, like I said, there's a lot on the slide, but we can read it together, and then you can go back later and look at the video and review it for yourself. Okay. So it says, all our great teachers, the Christ, Mohammed, Krishna, the Buddha, and others, spoke of dynamics that are invisible to the five senses. They call them things like the hand of God and creative impulses of mind. They describe consequences that are created in the domain of the five senses. And listen carefully. They describe consequences that are created in the domain of the five senses, but that appear in non-physical realms. Again, sort of the metaphysics of this whole thing. All our great teachers share the same message. There is more to this life that you live than you can see. You're connected to events, experiences, and others in the realm of the five senses and in other realms that you do not perceive and in ways that you do not understand. What you choose and what you do has significance beyond the apparent. You're part of a larger whole, a larger dynamic that impacts upon you and upon that which you impact. And when you choose your thoughts, your words, your actions, choose wisely and compassionately, all right? You are part of one family, one mind, one heart, one life, one universe. Give all that you can to it, and you will receive more in return than you can imagine, okay? Now, when this lesson is over, in the Zoom session, we're going to play a powerful video for you that talks more about that idea that everything is one. So giving all that we can to our divine unfolding requires doing the work to open ourselves up to our greater potential as multisensory beings. Right? And I believe that we are now actually tapping into the multisensory sensory aspect of our consciousness, most likely without realizing it. Okay? So if you've been spending time in affirmative prayer, meditation, and thinking about contemplating these spiritual ideals, you probably are moving, have been moving, into from a, just a pure, limited five-sensory being into a multi-sensory being. But again, because we may not fully understand what it means to be a multi-sensory being, we may not even be aware that we are somewhat in that realm, but not understanding the dynamics of it, if that makes any kind of sense, okay? So what I'm saying, if you keep doing the work, you will begin to do that transition from five-sensory to multi-sensory, right? It may take time for us to really to understand that that's what's happening to us. So our work is to become aware of and live from our multisensory nature. And this is the consciousness in which belief in God becomes enough. All right, so as five-sensory beings, belief in God just may not be enough. But as multisensory beings, belief in God becomes enough. However, even as intriguing as what Gary Zukav shared about our universal connectedness, you know, that we are universally connected to everything, and how there are things happening outside of the five sensory nature that we are not aware of, we still long for a personal relationship with God. Okay? And scripture tends to give us that personal relationship, though we have to metaphysical scripture to understand its deeper meaning, okay? So let's metaphysical some scripture, all right? Scripture is like Numbers 6:25. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Or Psalms 119, verse 135. May thy face shine upon me and teach me the way to live. Okay, now, knowing that God is principle, okay, we talked about that a lot last week, principle, law, all right, absolute law, does not invalidate the personal nature of our request, of the request of these scriptures, okay? So even though we know God is this universal law, okay, it's on scripture called Lord, it doesn't invalidate the personal nature that we seek. And as metaphysical Christians, we share the same desires as our brothers and sisters on other spiritual paths who long for a personal relationship with God, okay? In reality, we want faith in God to be enough, okay? In our own way, we long to please God or be pleasing to God in God's sight, no matter how we metaphysical it, okay? So metaphysics doesn't take away the idea that we want this personal relationship with God. So what we're going to do is we're going to use the life of Noah to demonstrate how he created a closer relationship with God. Noah was one who wanted to be pleasing to God, and there are five acts of worship we can see in the life of Noah that can help us in our quest also to be closer, have a closer conscious relationship with God. Again, with the intention being to know that faith in God is enough, okay? So that's the intention of this whole lesson, is to get us to a place that we can have faith in God, and that for us will be enough. So Noah's first act of worship teaches us that just as we are striving for a relationship with God, God at the same time is striving for a relationship with each one of us. So this isn't a one-way street. And as we learned last week, we are the inlet and the outlet of all that God is. The Creator needs the created to allow creation to continue to unfold, okay? So we are a necessary part of the universe's continuous unfolding because it happens through us. And this has been the hallmark of our studies, that being to develop a sense of oneness with our Creator. All right. It is the main purpose of affirmative prayer and affirmative thought, right? That being to cultivate and prepare our minds for a closer walk with Thee, as it says in Scripture. Okay, and I did a search on this, and there are 49 Bible verses about our yearning for a closer walk with God. So now, the second act of worship we learn from Noah's life is to trust God wholeheartedly. Now, we find evidence in this, recorded in Hebrews 11:7. The scripture said that Noah condemned the rest of the world, meaning the guidance he received from God was greater to him than what the world was telling him, okay? And that happens to us. You might have had that. You might be conscious of that happening to you, that you get this inner guidance, but then the world, meaning people in your life or whoever, tell you, no, that's not what you want to do. This is what you want to do. But you got this clear inner feeling that's guiding you in a certain way, okay? However, as we talked about last week, the answer to the question, how do I know what is divine guidance compared to what I'm getting from the world? It will be when the answer comes from your heart rather than your head. This is what we said last week. Meaning, does what you feel to do, what you feel to say, feel right to you for both yourself and whoever else is involved? If the answer is yes, go with it, okay? And then carefully observe the outcome of your choice. Now, that's the key. When you go with whatever you're feeling to do, when you go, don't just dismiss it. Go with it and then observe the outcome of your choice. See, this leads to the third act of worship in Noah's life, which is recorded in Genesis 6:22. Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. Okay? All right? Noah obeyed God wholeheartedly. Now, the author of the book, Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren, says God doesn't owe you an explanation or reason for everything you are asked to do. And a lot of times we'll question, I go, wow, I don't know if that's what I really want to do. And you got this deep inner calling, drive to do it in such a way, and you're negating it. And as it said, Rick Warren said, God doesn't owe you an explanation or reason for everything that you're asked to do. Understanding can wait, but obedience cannot, right? So the fact that I don't understand, that can wait. The fact I need to be obedient to this inspiration I'm getting from within me, that cannot, okay? And I really like this next statement. Instant obedience will teach you more about God than a lifetime of Bible study. And the author also speaks to the fact that the main reason we do not follow the guidance of Spirit is because of lack of faith, that the guidance we are receiving is whether or not it's the right course of action for us. Okay. However, if we could learn to be obedient, we would, by the act of following our spiritual guidance, develop faith. All right, you get that? So through obedience, when you get that strong inner guidance, and I think many of you know what I'm talking about, you've had that experience or you're having that experience, through obedience of following that, okay, is how you develop faith. All right? Remember, faith is what's going to make God enough for us. What's going to make faith in God enough for us. So the fourth act of worship in Noah's life is best expressed in Psalm 69, verses 30 through 31. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving, and this will please the Lord. Now, in much of the Unity material, it says that praise and thanksgiving are like putting fertilizer in your mind. Right? It prepares the soil of your consciousness to receive, nurture, and cultivate the seed ideas that are given to your mind by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we've talked a lot about the fact that the Holy Spirit is sort of that dynamic within us, that energy within us that delivers these divine ideas from God, which is the God, the realm of infinite potential and divine ideas. So it isn't that you will not receive divine ideas if you do not prepare the soul of your consciousness. It is that without conscious preparation, the weeds of fear and worry in your consciousness will destroy the divine seed before it has a chance to develop. So in a cosmic sense, God is pleased when the gift of divine ideas has a receptacle that is conducive for growth and development. Why? Because that is our nature and the reason we were born. That being to be the vehicle through which God can pour love and creative ideas into the world. And you may even have had the experience of being in the flow, ideas coming to you as fast as you could, you know, do something with them. And this comes from a mindset of being thankful. The more thankful you are, the more these ideas flow into your life. And there, you know, you become even exhilarated because of the flow of energizing ideas, all right? So now, the fifth act of worship in Noah's life is that we bring joy to the universe when we productively use our talents and abilities to serve, okay? And again, though there may be, you know, there may not be a man God or a woman God who actually smiles upon us, there does seem to be a lightness and a joy to life when we are in the flow doing that which we are gifted to do or that which we are guided to do. Okay. Now, I know that sometimes we wonder, what are our talents and gifts? Okay. But if you cannot identify them, it's okay. What God really needs is your willing heart. And it says in Exodus 35:5, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. There it is again, okay, that notion that when you just do, if you just do not know what to do, if you just don't know what to do, and I think a lot of us get caught up in that, what do I do? Or you just don't understand how to work with God to receive the guidance you need, the simplest approach is to just be willing, okay? I don't know how to do this. Just be willing, okay? Meaning stay gentle in your thoughts and words. Okay, this is what it means to be willing. Stay gentle in your thoughts and words. Do not judge yourself or the situation you find yourself in. Just stay gentle. Use kind and uplifting words, and the Spirit of the Lord will guide your way. Okay. And I'm going to end with this scripture from Psalm 37:23. The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will not fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have a meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, we invite you to relax and take a nice deep breath and pause in this moment as you allow the Christ presence within you to restore you to your natural balance. Allowing yourself the pleasure of meditation is a gift to yourself. Take this time to center yourself in the presence of divine life within. Please take the following words as your very own. As I turn within, I begin by letting go. I let go of any distracting thoughts in my mind, let go of tension in my body, let go of anything trying to disturb my peace. As I let go, I begin to experience my natural state of peace and joy in the present moment. I feel the release of any concern previously pressing in on me. I let this gift of freedom fill my mind and my body. Every cell and every atom within are surrounded and enfolded by peace. Letting go is a gift to myself. Letting go allows the good that is always present to be experienced. I allow myself to feel the goodness of God within. My good now unfolds into all areas of my life. My good is established in my mind, my body, and my affairs. Nothing can keep my good from me. And now, knowing this truth for yourself, let's take it into the silence and feel Spirit working in our lives and affairs. And now, as we begin to bring this time of meditation to a close, you can continue to let go and allow your natural state of good to unfold in every way, moment by moment in your life. And for this and so much more, we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. Gently come back to your space and your surroundings, and know that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. Amen.
Thank you, Hen. Wonderful. All right, this is a time when we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. And as always, we are so grateful for all of the wonderful blessings that all of you have been sending. If you are new to this YouTube or virtual way of watching and joining us, you can find in YouTube right below us in the comments, you can find how to give to Unity Center of Light. And we appreciate all of your wonderful gifts. So with that in mind, let's do our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
And Amen. So it is. Amen. All right. And now we have light notes.
Yes. Okay. Light notes for Sunday, September the 26th. On October 31st, we will revisit our Courageous Conversations session following the Zoom fellowship. Reverend Michelle Sinegal will facilitate our journey through effective listening skills and clear and compassionate communication and much more, so we ask that you join us. And please join the Wednesday discussion group based on the Unity booklet called Worthy. The booklet has powerful and uplifting stories of overcoming from the LGBTQIA community. This group is also for those who love and support them and all of us who have faced similar issues. Check your updates for the link and to download the booklet. They'll be meeting on October the 13th from 7 to 8 p.m.
All right, well, it's time to do you know what.
Time to bless the path that we all will walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right, let's go right for our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So we've really enjoyed bringing you this service today. And again, we hope to see you in Zoom right after this. Yeah. Otherwise, have a very wonderful and safe week.
Bye-bye.